17 short, swift days. And you'll be 40, Robert Holmes. 40 years old.
Yes? Oh, leave it there, please. No, on the table there.
Thank you. 40 years old.
Generally, it is the so-called frailer or weaker sex who are so conscious of the passage of time that they hear the knell of doom in the number 40. Generally speaking, that is. To Robert Holmes, though, 40 held all the terrors that modern man can imagine within its two crisp syllables. 40. 17 days short. Oddly, with each succeeding year, the age gap between him and Eloise seemed to widen, as if time were carrying him along and leaving her behind. In the beginning, she had looked at him as being attractively mature, while now, he felt, she regarded him as growing old. It was no trick of the imagination, the way he saw Eloise looking at the younger men in the club, and a number of them, young bucks like Edward Mathis, were not above doing something about it. Poor Robert. He should have done something about it himself.
Suspense. The unusual, the unexpected, life, death, and sometimes something in between. Suspense.
Twenty-nine. That's all she is. Looks 23. Got beauty. Youth. Money, too. Always gregarious. Thought she'd become a bit calmer, though, after marriage. She did, I suppose, but only for a year or two.
No.
Then I didn't look old. Hair hadn't even begun to recede. Graying now. Falling out. I look about 80. Getting a double chin, too. Can't get away from it. Bloody unfair. I think it's all happening to her. I wouldn't mind if she got a few lines as well. That woman's going backwards. She's getting younger.
Bye. Yes, of course, Beryl, love. Bye.
Bye.
Robert, you see, felt his security imperiled. In fact, he had completely, by this time, convinced himself that the only answer to his problem lay in his wife's death.
Oh, dear. That Beryl, she is the limit, she really is.
Beryl?
Oh, you know Beryl.
No, I don't
know. Oh, of course you do, darling. Beryl Krimmer. She got married last spring to that tennis player, John something or other.
John?
We were all terribly surprised. He's at least 7 years younger than she is. Mavis thinks he's the most beautiful man she's ever known. I've never seen hair so fair, and he's got so much of it.
Yes, Eloise had youth, vitality, and longevity was a family trait. This combination virtually eliminated all chance for a natural death. Thus, Robert Holmes found himself with a sole possibility. In order for Eloise to die, he would have to kill her himself.
There we are, Mr. Holmes. One dry martini.
Oh, thanks.
You and your martinis, Mr. Holmes. I always thought it was only Americans who drank them. Give me a nice pint any day of the week.
Dry?
As the desert breeze. You've never been to America, have you, Mr. Holmes?
No. No, I've never been to America.
They say it's a wonderful country. That's a nice cigarette case, Mr. Holmes.
Yes, so wife gave it to me for my birthday.
You live out at Huntington, don't you, Mr. Holmes?
Yes, that's right. 134, on the hill.
That's a nice house, I know it. It's got a tennis court, garage for four cars. It's big.
Mm.
I used to work for the bloke who owned it during the war. Jack Conyers owned it then. He was a bootlegger.
A what?
That's what they call him in the States, Mr. Holmes. Distillers of and runners of black market liquor.
Oh, yeah.
During the war, the customers telephoned their orders, and we'd get the stuff out of the stockroom under the garage and send it out to them at black market prices. Police were never able to
room
find
under
it.
The garage? Mm. But there's no room under the garage.
Well, it's probably been filled in a long time ago, but there used to be one under there. There was a trap door in the garage floor and some steps leading down. Oh. Door was on a spring, and you had to push it in a certain place to make the trap open. Oh, yes. Oh, excuse me. Got to go as customers.
Hello, Bobby boy.
Oh,
how are you?
Oh, Charlie, you celebrating?
Well, wife's gone away. Visiting her sister. First time she's left me for 15 years.
Mm.
Ooh, look. I might be telling tales out of school and all that, but I just saw your charming bride.
Well?
Well, maybe I ought to keep my big mouth shut.
Well, come on, you old drunkard, up with it.
Well, I've been around the town to a few pubs today. And...
that I can see.
Mm. Well, I was in the Domino earlier on, and that's where I saw Elwes. She was with a youngster called Mathis.
Mathis? Edward Mathis?
Yes, Edward. That's the word, Edward.
You're sure?
Well, look, Bob, I've had a few drinks, but there's nothing wrong with my eyesight. Oh, he's a smart one, that Mathis.
Yes, that is smart.
What would you like to do on your birthday, Bob? It's only a couple of weeks off, you know. You'll be 40.
You don't have to remind me.
Hmm? What? Would you like to get a crowd together and go to the club?
I'm not particularly looking forward to this birthday, if you don't mind.
Why? Because you'll be 40. Oh, don't be absurd. You know what they say, life begins at 40.
Oh, for heaven's sake, spare me the cliche. I don't act so blasted smug. One of these days, you too are going to be 40.
40's a long, long way off for me yet. Oh, still, it's nothing to be afraid of.
He glanced down the long table at his wife. She had a secret, of that he was sure. 9 years they'd been married now, 9 years on her money. Even his job in her father's brokerage firm would go down the drain if anything happened to their marriage.
Is anything wrong, Bob?
What did you do today?
Oh, nothing important. Went to the club, played 9 holes and...
With whom did you play?
What is this, Robert? An inquisition? Well, just what is this all of a sudden? You're acting like a suspicious, peevish old man.
Oh, forget it. I've had a bad day at the office. Forget it.
Oh, brother. Now, that's a car and a half.
Yes, she's a beauty, isn't she? Lovely yellow.
Oh, hello. one of the most beautiful cars I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, Mamma Mia. Would you ask Mathis if he's not too busy? I'd like to see him, please.
Oh, Ed won't be in again until this afternoon. Shall I ask him?
No, never mind. I'll come back again. Some other time.
To blazes with work today. That's what Holmes thought that morning. He drove home again. Her car was not in the garage. He moved moodily about the house for a while, drank two drinks, and then suddenly remembered what the barman had said about the old trap door in the cellar of his house. With a strange excitement, he went to investigate. Something had clicked in his mind.
Must be right. I filled the belly thing in. Doesn't seem to be in here.
No. No, he wasn't telling fairy stories. And it isn't filled in either.
Quickly, Holmes grabbed a flashlight and, climbing through the trap, made his way down a flight of stone steps into... what? The room under the floor was large, approximately the size of the garage itself. The mold-encrusted ceiling was formed of steel I-beams surmounted by the concrete garage floor. The four walls were concrete, too. The floor was hard-packed earth. The air was close and fetid.
This is it. This is the answer. A few details here and there and my future... is secure.
On a Thursday, a week and 2 days before his 40th birthday, Robert Holmes decided not to go to work. He told his wife he had some paperwork to wade through, and accordingly he shut himself into his study and waited. An observer hidden with him in that room, though, would have observed that the gentleman in question opened no books, picked up no pens. Instead, he merely waited and listened, close by the door. After a while, he heard Eloise go to the telephone, make a call, and agree with one of her women friends to play golf that day. She replaced the phone, just as Robert stepped out into the hall.
Oh, hello, darling. Finished already?
No, just taking a breather.
Well, I hate to make you jealous, but...
What's that?
Hmm?
Well... what's that on your neck?
Neck?
Don't...
Yes, Robert did a very workmanlike job of throttling, otherwise... As soon as he had finished, he carried her down to the room under the garage and buried her in the shallow grave he had dug the day before. By the time he carried this out, washed his hands and straightened his tie, barely 5 minutes had passed. In another 15 minutes, he was sitting at his desk at his office in town. Came 4:30 that afternoon.
Miss Cook, I've got a bit of a nasty pain in my stomach. In fact, I don't feel well at all. I'd like you to ring my wife, please. If she's not at home, she'll be either at the Dawsons or with some friends.
I'm sorry, Mr. Holmes, awfully sorry. I've tried all the places you said, but no one's seen her today.
Huh?
Mrs. Bascom said she talked to your wife this morning. They were supposed to play golf together. Apparently Mrs. Holmes just didn't turn up.
Hmm? That's strange.
Yes, sir.
Very strange. Not like Eloise at all. Did you try my home phone?
Oh, yes, sir. That's the first place I tried. No one answered. How does your tummy feel now?
Seems to be getting worse, if anything. Must have been something I had at lunch.
Well, you shouldn't go home if there's no one there.
Here. That's the number of the woman who does for us. It's Thursday today, her day off. Look, call her and explain the situation.
Yes, sir.
Tell her to take a taxi out to the house and say I'll be there within the hour.
Would you like me to drive you home, Mr. Holmes?
That's very nice of you. I hate to inconvenience you, though.
Oh, it's no trouble, sir. I'll get your hat and coat, shall I? You won't need your briefcase, will you? Or is there something...
Yes. No, quite. Yes, of course. No, I phoned them. Yes. No, I suppose not. Oh, thank you. Well, that's about the last of the hospitals. In fact, it is the last, within 20 miles, anyhow.
Well, could she have gone on a trip, do you suppose?
Oh, no, she'd have told me. Anyway, her car's still there.
Maybe you should call the police. Mum had to do that about Dad once. They found him 3 months later, sitting in a park in Manchester, feeding the pigeons.
Well, if I don't hear anything within the hour, I will call them. Yes, I better do that. Now, where's Mrs. Ruddy Watson? You phoned her. She promised to be here. I don't want to keep them.
I've told you before, Sergeant Wilkins, and I'll tell you again. People do not simply disappear. She's got to be somewhere.
Oh, we've checked and rechecked everywhere she could have left the town, Inspector. And she didn't leave. She's still here somewhere. Yeah, perhaps we'd better let the newspapers have a crack at it.
You know that's out. Her father's a very big man. The editors of some of the biggest national papers are like Siamese twins to him, let alone the locals. He doesn't want anything in the paper about it. He says she might have just gone away for a while and doesn't want to be embarrassed.
Mm. You know, that husband knows more than he's saying.
Maybe he killed her.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
And what did he do with the body?
Well, maybe he buried her. Maybe he dissolved her in acid and washed her down the drain. I don't know what he did with her.
We've been through and over every darned inch of the ground on the property. If just supposing he did bump her off, Sergeant, where the heck did he bury her?
Anyway, Holmes can account almost for every second from the time Mrs. Bascom talked to his wife on the phone until the time he phoned in the missing persons report. His alibi's too darn good.
A jury doesn't convict people for having good alibis.
And suddenly a whole new world opened up before Robert Holmes. Exciting possibilities. There were no boundaries, it seemed to him now. The world was his oyster. He decided that it was a holiday he was needing, a long, long holiday. Of course, he'd keep the house. He would refrain from letting it or anything stupid like that.
Can't let the ruddy thing.
Not with what the room under the garage contained.
Not with what's downstairs.
Although, of course, who could ever find it?
But then, no one could ever find it.
They might just get into conversation with the barman.
Might just happen to talk with old Dutch in the bar. Oh, that'd be dodgy.
Certainly would. Imagine it.
Oh, so you're renting number 134 on the hill. Used to wait 3 years ago. Before the present owner, of course. Rich geezer has it now. His wife disappeared in mysterious circumstances. It's never been found. Some people reckon he had something to do with it. But they never managed to make anything of it. Yes, well, underneath the garage floor, there's this cellar place. All you do, as I remember, is to bank a certain place on the wall.
Oh, no, definitely not Robert Holmes.
Certainly not. Lock the whole place up. Put it in the hands of reliable lawyers. That's a ticket. I'll return from time to time, of course.
Of course. Otherwise?
Otherwise, people might think I've run away. South of France, I think. Then, Switzerland. It'd be wise to check with that inspector chap, I think. After all, it's only been 9 days. All the beautiful ladies in the world are waiting for you, Bob Holmes. 40? 40? What sort of an age is 40 anyway to a man with money?
Oh, hello. Inspector Jason, please. Yes, I think he is expecting me to ring. Thank you.
Bless you, Dutchy, for reminding me of the room.
Hello? Inspector? Robert Holmes here? Yes. No, I... Look, Inspector, I've got to get away just for a while. It's been a terrible strain on me, as you can imagine. Of France. Yes, of course. And if she turns up, as I'm sure she must, the silly girl. Now, look, you can contact me. No, I'm sorry, Inspector. I will not allow such a terrible possibility to prey on my mind. Now, I'm sure she merely decided on the spur of the moment to... Oh, thank you. That's nice of you. But it's perfectly all right, then. I mean, I thought I'd just check. Good. Good, fine. Well, as soon as I've got an address, I'll... Yeah. Right? Right. Cheerio. Thank you for all your help.
No ordinary day, this. It was Robert Holmes' 40th birthday. He had allowed the woman who did for him leave for an indefinite period, on a generous retainer, of course. He began to pack. Then he discovered an annoying thing. He couldn't find the diamond-studded tie clip that Eloise had given him for his 39th birthday. He tried to remember when he had last worn it. It had been the day he had killed Eloise. He remembered dressing and waiting for her to make her phone call. Later, he had carried her down to the room. He had placed her in the grave and covered her.
Blast! It's got to be down there. It's the only place it can be. Oh, I can't leave it. Cost at least £1,000. Diamonds are huge. Anyway, if anyone ever found the room and found her... And a tie clip of her, too. No, there's no risk anyway. I'm alone.
And so, accordingly, he got a torch, opened the trap, and started down the stairs. He was halfway down when he heard the car approach.
Oh, the blazes! The coppers must be...
With his ear to the trapdoor above him, Robert realized that the car and whoever had driven it there had come into the garage. It had to be the police.
I'll wait for you here.
Who's that? It's not the police.
Several minutes passed. Then came another voice.
Nobody seems to be home. The back door's open, but no one came when I rang.
Might be in the bar.
Well, she said deliver it this morning. I'm positive of that. It's his birthday.
What should we do?
Suddenly, Robert recognized the second voice. Ed Mathis.
Mathis?
We'll leave the car where it is. It's paid for. We'll go back to town in your car.
Waiting a decent interval, Robert searched for the tie clip and found it. Now he was ready to go. South of France. Blue waters and film starlets with loose morals awaited him. Swimming, fishing, sailing, golf. The door remained shut. He placed his back against the trap. He strained against it with all the power of his back and legs. And then he felt a wave of terror. Like a page slowly unfolding before him, he saw it. Ed Mathis. The secret meeting with Eloise. Mathis was a car salesman at the place where he had admired the beautiful car that day. His birthday. 40. And standing there like a poised missile just inches above him, the yellow, beautiful sports car. With one wheel resting firmly on the trap door. Suspense. The unusual, the unexpected, life, death, and sometimes something in between. Suspense.